We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Atlanta, please get off of Steve Sarkisian. Get off. You're on. You're piling on. I mean, it's a hog pile. It's like when Michigan State blocked a punt and dude returned it for the touchdown. And he got hogpiled to the point where he broke his damn hip, okay? Don't break Sarkisian's hip. We need him next year to call plays. Rick Hamlin, John Michaels, high above Peachtree in the Kia Studios, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This conversation, John, is all about sort of us and the masses working this out together. Because the masses have told us on polls that we have run on Twitter, conversations that we have had, they are over it with Steve Sarkisian. They want him out. I heard two national pundits this morning, John, going back and forth about the Falcons, and there wasn't a debate. They both agreed. The premise of the conversation, where do the Falcons go from here? What do they need? And I don't know if they just don't know the team very well, or maybe they do, and they just pick one thing. But the one thing that both of these guys picked was Steve Sarkisian developing as a play caller in the offseason and going into next year. That was it. They didn't talk about needing a new guard. They didn't talk about being able to catch the ball better. All of the nitty-gritty minutiae that we talk about with this team. Their helicopter view of the team was give Sarkisian time to get better as an OC after a rookie year in the NFL, and the Falcons will be fine. They both thought that the Falcons were a legitimate playoff team, a legitimate contender, and all they need is their play caller to get a little bit better. I'm just giving you a view from outside, a view from the Northeast, where all they want to do is hate on our Atlanta Falcons and all the sports here. And they weren't hating on us at all. Matter of fact, it was a very positive conversation. So that brings us back here to Atlanta and me and John. We've been saying the same thing. Do we nitpick? Do some of his play calls suck? Yes. You could talk about every offensive coordinator in football. Even Josh McDaniels up in New England calls a bad play every once in a while. Todd Haley completely screwed up Pittsburgh's playoff game against Jacksonville. And now you got Ben Roethlisberger coming to his defense. So we're trying to come to Sark's defense a little bit.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Do I think there's some things that Steve Sarkisian needs to work on in the offseason? Absolutely. You don't go from 34 down to 22 points a game and just go, oh, ho-hum, everything's great, because it's not. Do I think the last play of the season was a bad play call? Absolutely. We talked about it yesterday. I thought it was a play that from the get-go was doomed. You had the Eagles players saying they knew what was coming. You basically had a two-man route with five guys covering him. You had Derek Coleman split out wide, which you might as well have put Ty Sambrello over there because he had as much chance of going to catch the pass as Derek Coleman did. It wasn't going to happen. Are there plays throughout the year you look and go, what the hell are we running? Yes. But even last year at 34 points a game, there were plays that Kyle Shanahan called and we go, what the hell are you running? I think it's an easy excuse to just go, it's on the OC, fire him and let's start over. Now, you have another year like this year? Absolutely, Steve Sarkisian needs to be gone. You'd have too many weapons to continue to go at the pace that you had this year. But I agree with some of the national people that say, hey, you give a guy a year to develop play calling. You give a guy a year to develop and understand the players that he's working with and give him a chance to build that continuity.
That's my man right there, John Michaels. Let's take it a step further. Did we get what we wanted out of the tight end position?
No.
Did we get what we wanted out of the Taylor Gabriel position?
No.
Okay. Then maybe Sark didn't have all of the weapons at his disposal in the gun that he's supposed to fire euphemistically every single game. Think about it. Austin Hooper, where's your game, bro? You let go of Tammy. You give Hooper the job. And by the way, Josh Perkins, buzzkillishly, is a Philadelphia Eagle right now. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Through the practice squad and the movement and future contracts and all that. Perkins is an Eagle, okay? Mm-hmm. Hooper, huge letdown this year. Gabriel, hamstring or not, huge letdown this year. We need a tight end in this draft, okay? And I don't care where we get it. I don't care if it's Andrews in round two, Gesicki in round three, maybe Hayden Hurst of South Carolina in round four, Fumagalli of Wisconsin in round four, and we need a slot receiver. And hopefully we can get my guy Kiki QT from Texas Tech in 4-5 We don't have a fifth-round pick because of Sombrilo, so maybe the fourth or sixth round there. But we need better than Hooper, and we need better than Gabriel. And I think Sark would have more weapons at his disposal and be more effective.
Yeah, I think drop passes hindered Steve Sarkisian. And again, we're not exonerating him saying, oh, he's fine. He's not fine. Obviously, you don't lose in a divisional round scoring 10 points if you're fine. But I do think the lazy excuse is to just put it on him. I go back to this, and I know Arch watches play calls, and Arch charts literally how many times guys were targeted from a year ago as opposed to this year, how many big plays we had. The offense was almost the exact same as a year ago as far as run-pass ratio, big play shots, targets to Julio, all these different things. What was different was the execution this year. And I mentioned in the Eagles game, you had 10 plays on first down that were zero or negative plays. So that means 10 plays, and you could say, oh, well, they're all on Sark. If you run a run play on first down and you lose 4 yards because your tackle gets whipped to the inside, is that the play caller's fault? Not always. You got to discredit guys where they deserve it, and then also you got to give them credit where credit is due. Matt Ryan makes the super athletic play to throw the touchdown to Devontae Freeman. Is that suddenly a great play call because it ends up in a touchdown? Or is it a great individual effort because Matt Ryan escapes pressure, pirouettes, and then finds a guy right in front of him for a touchdown?
And here's the other part of that. We're the home of the Falcons, Rick and John, throwing our midday party. Here's the other part of that. If the Falcons, and they're not going to do it, but if they fired Steve Sarkisian, who are they going to get? And would you be happy with that new guy? And would that new guy need another year of on-the-job training, and then we feel like we're better in year two? So do you really want to hit the reset button? Think about it. The Seattle Seahawks just hired Brian Schottenheimer as their offensive coordinator. Brian Schottenheimer, yep. the guy that was with the Dogs with the terrible offense that year. Brian Schottenheimer.
And who did the Carolina
Seahawks.
Panthers just hire? Norv Turner's ancient ass. Norv Turner hasn't called good games since the mid-90s Cowboys.
Let me give you another little bit of news here. Do you remember Ben McAdoo of
yep.
the Giants?
Mm-hmm.
One of the most epic failures a head coach has ever had in NFL history. Well, he's being interviewed by the Browns as their offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Hugh Jackson would still call the plays, and you know maybe they're just filling a role with McAdoo. But that's where we're at. Do you want Ben McAdoo up in here calling plays?
No.
That's a heck no.
Not with the porn stash.
So, come on.
He is going to the Browns, according to Preacher Man.
I'm just saying, Ben McAdoo or Steve Sarkisian or Brian Schottenheimer. I'll take my chances with Sark.
And here's the thing, and we'll back up to a year ago. I think Rick and I both said Matt LaFleur should have gotten an interview, period. Would have liked to seen him get a chance. Don't know why they decided to go to Steve Sarkisian route. I don't. I know Dan Quinn had ties to him in the past, but he was hired. You had to give him that opportunity. The offense was not as good as a year ago. So there are things you place blame on Steve Sarkisian. But I also don't like playing offensive coordinator roulette where you're going to have Cutter, Shanahan, Sark, insert coordinator here in about a 7-year stretch.
Because we're not the Alabama Crimson Tide. Wash, no. Rinse, repeat. Okay, they can do that. We can't. By the way, our boy Matt LaFleur is going to interview for the Titans'
head coaching job. Yeah,
I didn't say offensive coordinator, y'all. I said head coaching job. Let that sink in for a minute. Matt LaFleur last year was our QB coach. 1 year as an offensive coordinator. Didn't even call plays. That was Sean McVay's job. And now he's being interviewed for the head coaching job in Tennessee. That's where it's at in the coaching landscape in the NFL. So you have to understand what goes on outside of Atlanta to understand that we shouldn't just throw Sarkisian to the curb. We're trying to make y'all smarter and have fun while we're doing it.
Now, interesting. A guy said bring in Kiffin for OC of the Falcons. That would be fun.
Go out.
Dude, I would have a great time with Lane Kiffin here.
Would that be
Sark were like co-play callers at USC.
For real. Would that be an upgrade going from the head coach of FAU to the offensive coordinator of an NFL team? Is that an upgrade?
Yeah, it's a huge upgrade for him.
From head coach to OC? I'm just saying,
yeah,
is that an upgrade?
From FAU to an NFL head or a OC job? Absolutely.
All right.
FAU, he's making, what, about $1 million? He'd easily make that in the NFL.
Well, let's. No, I'm just kidding. Sark, we got your back, man. We got your back. We don't want to convolute the discussion.
Go Owls.
Thank you. Now, Coach Kiffin's good. He's down there with the Owls. He's got the beach.
Chilling. Trolling people on Twitter.
Oh, dude, just having a great time.
I love it. It's good to be Lane Kiffin.
You mean to tell me, though, and this is not to get rid of Sark, just for 1 year to have Lane Kiffin here as the OC, wouldn't be
awesome.
Sign me up for that.
Sorry, Sark.
I would go into Terry's office and campaign to have Lane Kiffin on here every week.
Why not?
We'd
get a swashbuckling play caller. I know that. So let's go to Ken and Buckhead here. Johnny wants to join the party. We're giving you a lot of reasons why we think Sark should stay. We're not totally content with where he's at as an OC. We assume he'll be better, but we're hanging in there with Sark. Ken, what about you?
I'm in between. Reason being, it's going to be a lot of pressure on the Falcons next year with the Super Bowl being here. Fans are going to expect us to give an ultimate effort and opportunity to get back there. So is this the guy that's going to do it? And my other part of that is it was more so effort and execution on the guys, I think, because there's a lot of times that the guys just can't execute the plays right.
Did you just drop Ken? Did you just drop a bowling ball? What did you just drop?
You all right over there?
No, I got some boxes on a handcart.
Well, get back to work. We don't want you to hurt yourself, Ken. We appreciate the call. Ken's trying to do work. He's multitasking. We got to get him a pair of those ear sets so he can call in. And
he needs one of the, you know, the Brett Favre commercials with the thing, the back support thing. What do they call that? The copper fit?
A bacchiotomy?
He needs one of those jams.
So, the people that are texting in Mike Mularkey for OC, you have lost your ever-loving mind. Do you not remember what Mike Mularkey was as an OC here? People were so happy to be when he left to go get the – didn't he get the job in Pittsburgh, or maybe it was the Tennessee head coaching guy? When Mike Mularkey left, we almost threw a parade on Peachtree Street. You want to talk about conservative? Mike Mularkey in this offense, no thank you.
So Mularkey just led Preacher Man's Titans to the playoffs and a playoff victory. And yet Preacher Man was still excited when he parted ways with the Titans. That should let
I'm
you know.
Happy.
Preacher Man, how do you feel about Mike Mularkey's play calling?
I can't say it on the air. We have an FCC violation.
It sucks. I'll say it
there
for
you. We'll use that word.
It's horrible.
I'm excited about the possibilities of who they're interviewing. I mean,
Matt LaFleur.
And then LaFleur.
Yeah, LaFleur's.
I'm excited. I like the fact they're going after non-head coaching people. They're young guys, so to speak. They have different ideas and way to execute. So to me, that's the way to go.
And based on what Sean McVay did, he has now opened the door for all these young cats. Whereas before him, maybe you had to look the part more or be a little bit more seasoned.
Be 48.
But McVay coming in there has sort of broken the mold. So a lot of these young guys.
A couple of guys said, hey, how about Gary Kubiak? I like Gary Kubiak's play calling. He always was a good play caller.
His heart can't take it.
That's
why he retired in the first place. He was doing some scouting, and I don't think he would ever get back in that position where he was under that much stress. I don't think his wife or his doctor would let him do that.
But it's interesting the stress level for a play caller as opposed to the guy making the fourth down calls. Do you punt? Do you kick? Do you go for it? What do you do? And obviously that stress got to Gary Kubiak. He's a hell of a coach.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously that would be an upgraded offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but I don't
think – runs the zone running schemes that we do and the play action and the bootlegs. He would fit perfectly with that.
That's the other piece to this equation. If you and just say this happens, and it's not going to, but just say it happens that Sark was let go. Are you going to go same direction, zone running scheme, and find somebody in that tree? Or are you going to go, you know what, we're scrapping this and we're going to something different?
Well, I have to keep some kind of continuity to what I did in 2016 when we had the seventh most points in NFL history. And Dan Quinn said, right, going from Shanahan to Sark, that it's still my system. Mm-hmm. It's still my offense, and Sark's going to come in and learn it and run it. And so I like that about Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn has a way that he wants his team to run offense. Like he will delegate the play calling, but he's not delegating the overall philosophy of the system.
We got an NFL bounce coming up next. We'll continue this conversation. I know guys want to keep sounding off on what you think should happen. But we'll also talk about the playoff games upcoming this weekend. Our first look at the championship round of the NFL on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then you whack it tomorrow and the leaves just fall off.
Bounce. We're bouncing around the shield.
Let's go!
It's the NFL Bounce on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, let's get into our NFL Bounce, and it's going to be a carryover here, a little Falcons talk in terms of Sarkisian. John and I have given you many, many reasons why we think that he should stay. Obviously, it is a short leash. If we do not see dramatic improvement next year, and albeit with increased weapons and hopefully increased pass protection for Matt Ryan in terms of the guards and either Freeman or Coleman doing their job in blitz scenarios. But we have given you a lot of reasons why we think Steve Sarkisian should stay. So let's carry it over here with Eric and Jamie, and then we'll get into some NFL stories here in our NFL Bounce. Eric in Dallas, join this midday party with Rick and John right now. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. Love your show. Listen, I like Sarkisian, and I like what he can bring, but what I think really needs to happen with the team is that they need to focus, step back and focus on the fundamentals, because they're not executing the plays that Sarkisian wants them to do. Fundamentals is everything, dude. Step back to the basics. Even it doesn't matter how good you are, you always have to go back to the basics. And right now I think the team just needs to focus on that and run Sarkisian's offense. And like you said, with new weapons, I think focusing on the fundamentals of football is going to really bring us a championship. I'll let you guys go and talk. Thank you very much.
Eric, fundamentals are as simple as not jumping off sides on first down, not getting a holding penalty on second and three, blocking the guy that you're supposed to, not getting beat to the inside when you've got an outside run, not allowing defensive tackles to blow you up. There's so many different things there that need to be addressed. Fletcher Cox single-handedly destroyed our blocking scheme. Now, I didn't like the fact that you ran Devontae Freeman into the line. That is a Steve Sarkisian issue. Devontae obviously wasn't 100%. He was not everything that he wanted to be. He tried, he gutted, he gritted. But they kept running into the line of scrimmage, and they kept losing yards on a lot of those plays.
Well, let me dissect this for a second. It's also a running back coach problem, okay? Because Sark is scheming up plays, and he's the overseer of the offense, but it's the whole thing delegates and trickles down. It's the running back coach that really kind of shuttles in and does the rotation. And obviously it's a rotation set up, you know, with all the game planning and all the prep with Sarkisian. But at that time, and so there's also some blame to go on Devontae Freeman right here. I get it. You're a warrior. I love you, bro. I love 24. But maybe, just maybe, John, there was a point in that second half where Devontae Freeman needed to be honest with himself and honest with his team and just say, maybe Tevin should go in there and handle this. Okay? So, but it goes back to the conversation we've been having about there's so much blame to go around. And I love that phone call about fundamentals, because one of the primary, you know, complaints about the defense was missed tackles.
Mm-hmm.
That is as fundamental as it gets.
Yep.
Okay, and how about drop passes?
Fundamental.
We were right there, either leading the league in drops or right there at the league lead in drops. To me, drops were a huge reason why we lost to Philadelphia. Second and 20 for Julio. Fourth and goal for Julio. To me, Julio's got to make that grab and get the feet inbounds, okay? That's what we're paying you for. So I love that call about the fundamentals. It's actually more about that and less about Sark.
Let's go to Jamie in Johns Creek, and then we'll do an NFL Bounce. Jamie, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
Well, I'm going to keep this short. I agree with you guys. I think we should give Sark one more year to turn this offense around. Just one more year. And if it doesn't improve, then we move on. As far as off-season moves go, I think we should focus on the trenches, focus on the offensive and defensive lines, because our two starting defensive tackles are going to be free agents, and we need to get better blockers for Matt Ryan and our running backs. That's all I got to say.
Appreciate it, Jamie. Now, only one starting defensive tackle is a free agent. That's Poe. Grady Jarrett's still there. He's not going anywhere. But the depth is obviously a concern as well with Courtney Upshaw. And I agree. I'm fine with addressing both lines. Address both lines. Everything else will kind of fall into place from there.
There is, again, I've already done a lot of mock draft analysis and analysis on, you know, the cornerbacks and looking all the way down, even to guys that won't be drafted. I did that last night. And there are going to be cherry offensive players throughout this draft.
Yep.
First round, if you want to go get a big boy like a Geis or a Barkley, cool. Or if you want to go get a Cortland Sutton or you want to go get a Calvert, second round, there's going to be that group of guys.
Yep.
Third round. So I'm just saying, I agree. It's offensive line or D-line first round, offensive line or D-line second. Right? And I'm telling you, third, fourth round, we don't have a fifth round pick. Third and fourth round, that's the juicy spot to get a Sony Michel.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we need him, but you know what I'm saying? To get one of those really good offensive players who has slipped to the middle of the draft.
You said Sony Michel. I'm just going to throw one out here. What if you find a taker for Tevin Coleman and you can pick up a pick? Just say, and I'm just throwing this out there, Brandon, you can get a second-round pick for Tevin Coleman and whoosh, throw another one there. And then maybe go get a Sony Michel in the third round.
I mean, I like the way you think. I love hypotheticals, and that's where we're at. It's the offseason. If Freeman has to go under the knife, I feel a lot worse about that. If Freeman doesn't have to go under the knife, then I could get frisky with Tevin Coleman.
Oh, can you?
I meant in a like a personnel decision kind of way.
Okay.
You're getting frisky with me, John.
Yeah, I was.
I like it.
Where's your hand going, Kamla?
They're both above the table. Okay, they're both above the table. I'm not like your boyfriend married with children sitting on the couch with his hand in his pants the whole time.
That would be weird. I think that is an HR violation. That's one of the new policies.
At work it is. Not at home on your couch.
Oh,
it's
no.
Not.
On my own couch, dude. It's basketball shorts and whatever. All right, a couple of things for the NFL bounce here. Did you see the video now of Sean Payton allegedly mocking the skull clap, I guess, whatever as they do in Minnesota?
Have not seen it.
There's a video out with about 10 seconds left. He's got a play sheet in one hand, and he's kind of doing this thing here above his head, which is what all the Minnesota Vikings fans do. And Minnesota's kind of up in arms about this. Saying,
why? You beat him. Who cares?
Yeah, but they're like, oh, that's a jerk move. And I'm like, well, he did the same thing here with the choke sign.
It is a jerk move. He's a jerk.
Yeah.
And I love him. I love Sean Payton. Dude, John Gruden is a jerk. Bill Parcells, a jerk. Bill Walsh, may he rest in peace, was a jerk. Vince Lombardi struck me in all this stuff that I've seen videos as a complete jerk.
And guess what? They won.
Had to win that game.
Yep, and they won.
Those are my favorite coaches. Mike D'Antoni might be the biggest jerk head coach in the NBA. And granted, the playoff thing is what it is. But he's still a really, really good regular season coach. And that thing with Blake Griffin last night, classic. Priceless. I hope NBA TV is rerunning that game today for their – but you got Cavs and Warriors, but – Did you see all of the stuff? You got D'Antoni bleep-ewing Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin bleep-ewing Mike D'Antoni. Oh, man, it was great.
And then Blake Griffin hurt himself,
awesome.
Didn't he? Is he on the 15-day DL?
Already. May never play again, John.
With a pinky toe injury?
May never play again.
Hey, a couple other things. The head coaching carousel continues to churn. Your guy, Pat Shurmur, obviously he cannot take a job yet. They've got an NFC Championship game this weekend in Philadelphia. But apparently he's now the front runner for the New York Giants job. And that could be a job he potentially takes whenever Minnesota is eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, I would really like this for the New York Giants. Shurmur, he's a lot like Mike Zimmer, right? Zimmer, the head coach of the Vikings, the defensive coordinator forever. Mm-hmm. Going back to Parcells and then up with Cincinnati with Marvin Lewis, and now he's just doing a killer job as the head coach of the Vikings. Think about the quarterback stuff and all the stuff he's had to navigate, and now he's in the NFC Championship game, and Vegas is favoring his team to go to the Super Bowl. So, and Pat Shurmur, to me, is one of those, he has paid his dues, he is ready for this. You know, you compare him to like a Matt LaFleur, the former QB coach of the Falcons, who's going to interview for the Titans head coaching job. Like, Sean McVay didn't pay his dues. Matt LaFleur hasn't necessarily paid his dues.
Nope.
A guy like Shurmur has. And I'm not saying that these other guys can't get it done. McVay obviously got the job done. But I'm happy for Shurmur. I think this is kind of a no-brainer for the Giants, actually.
You know what I like and I'm finally seeing is that you're seeing some new blood. Save John Gruden, who hadn't coached in a while. But you're seeing new blood get opportunities in the NFL. I think there was a stretch for a lot of years where it was just the old retread. It's a safe name. You know him. He's been a head coach before. We'll trot him back out there. And then 4 years later, they were stuck looking for somebody else. You're not seeing the old retreads get opportunities. Now, Josh McDaniels is probably going to get a second head coaching job. He learned, you know, failed in Denver, went back to New England, has paid his dues again. But it's not like he failed in Denver and immediately got that next job. He's a guy that will probably get a head coaching job again. You talk about Shurmur. You talk about the LaFleurs. You talk about some of these new names that are popping up. I quite frankly like it. Now, what I don't like, and I heard you and Randy briefly talking about this the other day. I know the Rooney Rule exists for a reason. Don't circumvent it like Oakland did. Like, I think that's Bush League. We've already hired John Gruden, but yeah, we're going to interview somebody to satisfy the Rooney Rule. Like, the rule is supposed to be give a guy an interview with a real chance to get a job, not, hey, we're going to hire somebody else and give a guy an interview so we don't get in trouble.
So it's our NFL bounce, and when you talk about Josh McDaniels, the prickly offensive coordinator of the Patriots, it makes me think of Mike Shanahan, not Kyle, but his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Shanahan's first job was with the Raiders.
Yeah.
It was a disaster. Then he went back, I believe, into coordinating and then got the Denver head coaching job and obviously won two Super Bowls, and it just was magnificent. Coaches, Bill Belichick, how'd he do in his first run at Cleveland?
Not so good.
Okay, so I think that first run, you figure out, man, this didn't work, this worked. I got to do this differently. I got to treat people differently. differently. Mm-hmm. I think McDaniels is going to be a lot better in his second stint. And very interesting that Adam Schefter, ESPN, many others are reporting that Matt Patricia, the bearded DC of the Patriots, is going to be the Lions' next head coach. So Belichick's staff is being seriously poached right now. His DC is probably going to go to the Lions. His offensive coordinator, McDaniels, maybe Arizona at this point.
Potentially
but,
Tennessee.
You know,
he's
he may
still
be
in
getting one
mix.
Of these jobs, but I like it. Adversity for New England is good news here in Atlanta.
Yeah, but it hadn't stopped him before. Mangini left. Crennel left. Charlie Weiss left. Well, he ate himself out. But either way, all these guys disappeared, and Bill Belichick just rolls other coordinators. It's like Alabama. It doesn't matter who leaves. Just roll somebody else in there, and the job keeps getting done.
So I don't understand what all of the Snowmageddon 2018 stuff is. I look outside, and I feel like I want to go play some golf. I don't know about y'all. I see some wispy clouds. I see blue skies. I just I don't know. I will take the free night at the W Hotel. I will party my face off with my great colleagues here at 92.9 The Game, but it does not look like we're about to enter a wintry mix.
Well, here's the thing. There's something from the National Weather Service. It says dangerously cold wind chills tonight. Light snow expected across much of north central Georgia beginning around midday, across far northwest Georgia, expanding south and east throughout the afternoon and evening hours. Up to 1 inch generally expected across the area. Locally higher amounts in the mountains of North Georgia. We'll have to monitor potentially higher amounts tonight along I-85 south of Atlanta. Impacts include bitterly cold wind chills, icy roads due to snow, and initial melting tonight into Wednesday morning. Prolonged cold, sub-freezing temperatures. That means Mark has to pull out the sweatpants.
Ugh. I want to wear shorts.
Me too.
It's going to be cold tomorrow. 7 o'clock, it's going to be 16 degrees with a wind chill of 1. It's going to be cold. Now, I don't know if you need to go get bread and milk, but it's going to be cold.
I'm starting to feel a frog in my throat. Hey, Sean.
You know what makes you feel better?
What's that?
Go get a stiff drink at the W after the show.
Hey, what do we have, 9 sick days? Might as well. That's almost one a month. Preacher Man, what do we have coming up next with From the Bible?
I'm not sure how you accomplished this, but a player got a technical foul from the bench.
Nice. Talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I could get frisky with Tevin Coleman.
Oh, can you?
You're getting frisky with me, John.
Yeah, I was.
I like it.
Where's your hand going, Kamla?
All right, where is the darn snow? Apparently it's coming. And we've got the Preacher Mail with From the Bible. Hey, at the top of the hour, I want to tell you about this. We have a question for you. More Falcons talk as we surmise and make sense of the season coming to an end. Are the Falcons still ascending as a bird might?
Oh, boy.
Or are they falling back to the pack or mediocrity? So do you like sort of where the arrow is pointing for our team right now? That's top of the hour on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But hi, Paul.
Hey, Rick. Just to let you know, From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770, the number 4-FLOODS, Dunn Waterproofing. So last night, if you were watching any kind of basketball, a little altercation in L.A., you see that, Ricky?
I know
you kept
it. It was great
on.
Theater.
So apparently the Houston Rockets, well-planned out, multifaceted attack on the L.A. Clippers locker room after Monday night's game. Apparently, once the Clippers beat the Rockets, 113-102, Chris Paul decided to lead a few of his teammates, including Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green, on a secret tunnel to the Clippers locker room to beat down, yes, I said beat down, Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin.
So they got in a fight with these guys in the underneath?
It was not allowed, John.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Cooler heads prevailed. There
but
were
they
security
they sent,
and stuff
the
like
funny
that.
Thing was is they sent big man, is it Clint Capella?
Yeah, Clint Capella.
To the front door, to like the regular door where you try to get in, knock it as a distraction. And they were coming in a different entrance.
So they were like the Goonies all of a sudden. They had found the fireplace that you moved and you slide down and all of a sudden you find the pirate ship.
Yeah, and they did the old banana in the tailpipe move on them too. With the knocking it, knocking up. But so Austin Rivers in street clothes talking smack from the bench riled up the Rockets. Blake Griffin, of course, is like the most unpopular player in the league to opposing players because he complains to the refs, he's all this stuff. But here's the deal. So Chris Paul, being a former Clipper, knew the back way to the visitor locker room or to the home locker room. So he – and by the way, one of the last guys you want to mess with in the NBA is Trevor Ariza.
Oh, he's a nut.
He is about that life, as they say. And by the way, so is Gerald Green. So Chris Paul.
Yeah, Gerald Green's got about three screws loose.
He picked a couple of the nuttiest, kookiest guys that you want in the foxhole with you in a fight.
Well, there's stories out there that says, you know, Chris Paul ain't throwing hands. That's why he took those guys with him.
What do we know about Chris Paul? He's one of the smartest players in NBA history, and another smart decision by future Hall of Famer Chris Paul.
I want to know, do all of these locker rooms have, like, bat caves and little sideways to get in and out?
Absolutely. I guarantee, if like, any home arena, there is always more than one exit from your locker room. Now, if you know the home turf, as Chris Paul would from formerly playing in the Staples Center, then you know all the back.
Now, do you have to go in and, like, turn one shower head on to all hot, turn on, you know, a radio station, slide over a book, and then a compartment opens? I mean, is it one of those deals, or is this a door that you know where to get in and out of?
Well, speaking of locker room chicanery, apparently the Warriors showering last night after their victory over the Cavs had cold water.
That's just Cleveland. That's all that is.
And so, like, did a pipe burst, or did they turn the hot water off because they were salty about the Warriors beating them again?
They just turned off the hot water.
Yeah, I think that's just a Tuesday or a Monday in Cleveland. That's all that is.
Preach me out. What else you got from the Bible?
Well, apparently there is a genius gambler out there that could win a possible $99,000 if the Jaguars win the Super Bowl.
How much?
$99,000. Almost 100 grand.
What was their odds coming into the year? It was like
100-1.
100-1.
So 5 days after Super Bowl 51, someone actually bet $990 on the Jaguars to win Super Bowl 52, and they got 100-1 odds, and they could potentially, you know, give them a windfall of $99,000.
I'll be honest, I'm surprised they were only 100-1. That's a 3-13 team a year ago. I would have thought they would have been closer to like 500-1.
That is a nadsy play by the guy to put a grand on the line.
Or girl.
For, was it a girl?
It doesn't say. So a man or a woman.
It could be a man or woman. Here's the thing. I believe that if Jacksonville beats New England, and it's a monstrous if, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl. I would like Jacksonville's chances over Minnesota or over Philadelphia. But obviously, at that point, it would be game on. You have, you know, three sort of quarterbacks that aren't elite, that aren't great. So, it just, somebody please beat New England. Please. By the way, I'm going to be wearing Jacksonville gear on Sunday for that game.
Really?
I'm not. I don't have Jacksonville gear.
I'll say, where'd you get that at? The Five and Dime?
At the wishy-washy store. At the flip-flop store. No, I just... Jaguars, please beat the Patriots. Please.
That's a slice of life we got to put down. I remembered one from like 2 weeks ago. Something that pushes our buttons. That's a slice of life. Because I know the wishy-washy flip-flop thing, you don't really deal too well with that one.
Well, no, stays in case it just maybe snow.
No, here's the thing. Like, John, for you or me to be called a flip-flopper or wishy-washy, that is a diss of epic proportions for guys to do what we do for a living. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I can't swing with that. I go out of my way not to be a flip-flopper.
Preacher man, what else we got over there?
All right, so Nets guard D'Angelo Russell is expected to be out until late January as he recovers from knee surgery, but he still finds a way to impact the game. During Monday's game between the Knicks and the Nets, Russell was clapping from the bench to mock an official's call. Though it seemed relatively mild, referee Brian Forte gave him a technical foul in street clothes.
I mean, I've seen it before. You know, you can have an assistant coach bickering about a call and get a tech from the bench. Players, it's rare, but it does happen. And the referees know it, Preacher Man. Like, you know what I'm saying? They see, oh, I just called a foul against the Nets, and I have D'Angelo Russell over here clapping.
It'd be better if D'Angelo Williams was down there clapping in attack.
They were talking about him this morning, apparently now being a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Former NFL running back.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Cleveland is interviewing for the new OC job, and apparently Ben McAdoo is on the list, as well as Mike Mularkey.
Mike Mularkey is on that list,
too.
I knew that Bob McAdoo was on that list.
Well,
he should
be ready for Mularkey. That for that gig. You know, he went 2-what, and they went 0-16, so he should fit right in.
What this tells me, John, is that Hugh Jackson is going to give up play calling duties. Why would you go out if you're Hugh Jackson got this job for play calling circa the Cincinnati Bengals? Mm-hmm. So 2 years of play calling for him, you got one win. So this tells me.
What finger was that?
Why I got something in my thumb and index finger, so I kind of shot up the bird there. But it wasn't a salute.
I was like, what did Mark do to you?
Anyway, but this is a sign to me that Hugh Jackson is going to give up play calling duties.
Boy, what a step down from Mike Millard. You were just coaching in the divisional round of the playoffs. Now you're interviewing for the OC job in Cleveland. What's next? Are the Calgary Stampeders not hiring right now? Are the Iowa Barnstormers full at offensive coordinator?
So did he overplay his hand? You know what I'm saying?
You think?
If you're now trying to get an offensive coordinator job, but you could have worked it out with the Titans to be the head coach, this sounds like Malarkey screwed the situation up.
He wasn't working anything out. That was just all PR. He was out the door.
Okay.
All right, so this is a follow-up story. We reported this previously on From the Bible. It is now official. Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick are dating.
Boo! 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 Actually, it's awesome because he's a Packer and he's with like a 5, so it works for me.
Wow.
She's a Bears fan.
Is she?
Yeah, so now she says, now I'm probably going to cheer for the whole team. And then just take out the word probably. Now I'm going to cheer for the whole team.
Oh, no. See, she's going to flip-flop her fandom based on Aaron Rodgers. You ain't much of a fan then, because my wife, no matter how much I work for the Falcons Radio Network, she is diehard for Stinky Town. And I just keep finding on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line little funny Saints memes. Like there's somebody that put the MARTA bus in front of Marcus Williams.
Nice.
With Stephon Diggs making the catch. I'll probably send her that one in a little bit.
John, do me a favor. Ask me a question. Ask me what Danica Patrick does for me.
What does Danica Patrick do for you?
Boom. Not full chub. What?
The look on Mark's face.
Nick Chubb, probably likely a third-round pick in the draft.
You can't say that.
You know, your hotel room just got canceled. You're sleeping in Terry's office tonight in case it snows.
Or you really? Could go, you could go back to the Mumbles Memorial Suite back there.
I don't think Preacher Man's going to be able to finish this segment. He's laughing too hard.
By the way, and I know John and you were talking about this, Olivia Munn, and it's not even close. Like Olivia Munn's a really good-looking woman.
What was the question?
Who looks better? Who's better, Olivia Munn or Danica Patrick? It's not even close.
Oh, Olivia Munn, hands down.
Not even close.
It's actually none of the above.
No, Olivia Munn's hot.
All right, so we got to move on to research material. We're running out of
time. Not just sports hot.
Today's research material comes from Jeff and Marietta. It is Amiridime. It's Amiridime. There you go.
What the hell is that?
Hey, look.
Is that a name or a website?
John, she pops right up.
She's known as
the cake queen on Instagram.
Well, I need to go to the bakery then when we get back from break.
Via.
Hey, when we come back, Falcons, ascending, or do you feel this is the start of a decline? We'll break that down. Next.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Rick.
I'm tripping.
Weekday morning.
And so was the research material. Shout out to whoever gave it to us.
That's Jeff and Marietta.
Amiridime, whatever, cake queen. She qualifies as a freak, a straight-up freak, and here's why. She's got a midriff that looks like it's about 20 inches around and hips and butt that look like they're about 60 inches around. She's a freak, dude, and it's not implants. This is God-given right here. There aren't too many of her walking around America or planet Earth.
You're not going to see her at Phipps. Well, actually, you probably will. She'll be with some baller.
I mean, chunky, chunky, chunky in the right places. Preacher Man, your type, right?
I don't discriminate.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying you tend to like the below the belt action a little bit.
Mark, with Amiridime, are you Bradley Chubb or Nick Chubb?
No Chubb.
No.
Negative Chubb.
Bradley Chubb might be a first-round pick.
Top 10 pick, yeah. Actually.
I'll see y'all tomorrow.
You going to your hotel room?
I'm out. I'm going to my hotel room. I've had enough of y'all today. Like 3 hours of this show, I've had enough.
Welcome back from vacation.
God, do we get tomorrow off too?
Man, I got a three-day vacation. He's already trying to leave an hour early.
Dumb.
Oh, I guarantee our kids have tomorrow off. I'm just waiting.
Well, I know there's no after-school activities for Fulton County. That's already been canceled. There's no prime time. There's no anything. I already got that phone call.
Because of safety.
Yeah.
And because we just want to buzzkill all the parents here in Georgia. No, it is. It's about safety. It's about the safety of our
children. So instead of having a leisurely drive home today, it's going to be bumper to bumper traffic.
It's going to take like 3 hours. I'll get home tomorrow.
You see what Mark Owens did right there? Like the maestro, trying to get us back on track by playing the music. I see what you're doing, but what if we're not ready to get back on track yet? Then you played the music premature. It's premature music elation. That's what's going on here, M.O.
I'll just turn it up.
Crank it.
Premature music elation. That's what you just did.
59 minutes. We can do this, fellas.
I'm not sure. Not sure at all.
I mean, we can definitely do it. Now, whether we get called into the corner office or me,
dude, you know,
for a post-show meeting.
You know what our creed is. No meetings. I want to read a couple of comments. Go back to the Aaron Rodgers story, and then we'll get to this NFL question. What?
We're back on Danica Patrick and her five on a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, no, because I just put on there Olivia Munn, and it's not even close. Jeff Bowman at CP Vault. So are we allowed to put other people's Twitter out, or is that against the office policy?
Don't do it.
It's not your own.
All right, it's just not me.
No,
so I can promote somebody else.
No, unless it's at 92 on the game, that's the only Twitter account we can talk about.
Okay. Because
apparently that's the only one that exists in this company.
Jeff said he's not doing bad either way. Kyle
disagree.
Tweeted me and said, but which one's less crazy? James Niemeyer said, would it change your mind if you knew she didn't drive race cars? I don't care if she drives cars or not. Somebody said, Danica's in far better shape and hopefully not a whack job like Olivia. That's from Doug Patterson.
How does he know?
Chupacabra. I gotta love a guy named Chupacabra. Neither. Pretty average for somebody that big, talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Wait a second. I am totally confusing who Olivia Munn is.
Who'd you think she was?
Yeah.
For the love of God. Okay, no, I don't know. I can picture the actress, but I don't know her name. I thought that
what you're movie? The wrong actress.
Okay.
Actress in your brain.
Screw all of that. Okay, Olivia Munn, she was the hottie in Office Christmas Party.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. I thought it was a different girl. Olivia Munn is a 1,000 to Danica Patrick's 5. It's not even close. We're talking about Martians and humans here. Give me a break. Olivia Munn
arms?
Is hot. Olivia Munn's a 9-piece. And Danica Patrick's a 5. Way to go, Aaron Rodgers. Way to go.
There you go. 316. 318, whatever he said. 318 something. How that?
Where is Danica Patrick on the 10-point
like
scale,
52.
Too? Yep.
No, Blue 52 is somebody else. Omaha.
Where is Danica Patrick? Let's go around the room. I got her a 5 out of 10, and I think I'm being generous, actually.
Oh, 6.5. Six and a half.
Wait, hold up.
This is
like
got to
be a first.
We're officially in the friggin' twilight zone here. Michaels can look at a 20 on the scale of 1 to 10 and go, nah.
I just don't give 10s.
And then and now you're giving Danica Patrick a 6.5.
Yeah, she's not bad looking. She's just tiny. That's all.
There's no curves. There's nothing going on.
I know what's not going on either is this game that's on our middle TV. We're going to have to change that.
M.O., Danica Patrick on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, 5.5, 6.
Okay.
Preacher man?
Yeah, I give her 5.
I mean, me and Preacher Man have locked
you know
step
what?
On
I
this.
Think she's very attractive. Again, she's tiny.
Yeah.
You hug her too hard, she's going to break. She's a race car driver. She has to be tiny. And by the way, she's done. She's officially retired from racing. She wants to be an entrepreneur.
Good
she's
for
got
her.
The money. She's,
hey,
got,
she made,
she's got money.
Dude, I don't knock the
she's
hustle.
She's a smart businesswoman. Don't knock the hustle.
I'll tell you what, if my fat carcass could squeeze into an Indy car and go make a couple million bucks, I'd be like Cartman from South Park shoved into an Indy car. Can you see me?
I'm get you up out of that.
I'm telling you right, Olivia Munn's one of the best looking women in Hollywood.
They
she
would have
is
to
a
take...
really good-looking girl. And I am not mad at all at Jimmy Butler for hollering at her at Office Christmas Party.
Do you know? Oh, yeah, me neither. Do you know what it would take for me to get into an Indy car? They would have to take Crisco and just lather my entire body up with Crisco and just kind of slap me into just right down in there. I wouldn't get out. If that Crisco dries, I'm stuck. They would have to, like, literally debolt the car to get me out of there.
We're off the rails already. Do you know who hollered at Jimmy Butler?
No.
Lolo Jones.
Who's Lolo Jones?
You don't know Lolo Jones?
No.
The Olympic hurdler slash bobsledder, who allegedly is a virgin.
Is she hot?
Cute girl. In great shape.
Got her
and
her
Jimmy
up right
responded
here.
As only Jimmy would. You know, basically, don't tease me because I don't play those games.
Mm. Yeah, don't play with my emotions, right? Did she holler at him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, if you're looking up Olivia's,
mm-hmm.
if you already got it pulled up in Google, erase Munn and type in Wild. W-I-L-D.
That's the one. I think that's the
See,
one.
I think Olivia Wilde's better looking than Olivia Munn. Olivia Wilde, you'll know her. She was in, she's done some movies, that incredible Burt Wonderstone.
M.O., you're my man, because it was killer. This is who I was confusing her with, Olivia
she's
Wilde.
Gorgeous.
I think Olivia Munn is way hotter than Olivia Wilde.
It's not even close.
I think way hotter. Now, Olivia Wilde does have those, like, kooky kind of eyes that are sexy and all that kind of stuff, but Olivia Munn for the win.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Olivia Munn's a...
Wow, we agree on a chick? Are you serious?
Yeah, we
Olivia
do.
Olivia Wilde for the win.
Preacher Man? Munn or Wilde?
Oh, Munn. He's on an island by himself.
Yeah.
That's fine. Good. I don't have to put up with you two.
So we could put you in Crisco and just leave you on an island to bake.
So was Aaron Rodgers with Olivia
Wilde?
You put
the music back to try to get us back on track. The music didn't work the first time.
Eventually, we're going to talk Sark here.
No, we're actually not.
No, we moved on
no
from
we're not.
That,
change
Mark.
The page.
Eventually, we're going to talk about the Falcons. Oh, look. Falcons ascending or falling. Much like this show.
Hey, this is a two. This was a two-segment question. We got plenty of time.
No, because the next one is that. What's that thing we do? The choke.
Lust. No, that doesn't exist.
Oh, that doesn't exist anymore. But you didn't tell me to scratch it off. It's still on the paper.
This is we have the worst rundown meetings in the history of radio.
Well, the problem is
we don't get here until 9:15.
If we had hotel rooms, we'd get here a lot earlier.
Well, the problem was the G drive where all the information is kept on this computer doesn't work. I had no access to it, so basically just printed off the rundown, and we went as if we were on remote.
So the G drive has gone the way of our Twitter handles.
I actually still can't believe that we can't give our personal Twitters out on the radio. I'm fine with it. It's a rule. I'll abide by.
That's
keep
my new
the
Twitter account.
Stay paid.
Follow me at G drive.
You can do like Jeff Benedict. Jeff is funny on Twitter. He'll change.
You think?
He'll
and
change.
Angry.
Well, angry too. He'll change his Twitter handle to like whoever Clemson is playing. It'll be like the ghost of Al Golden's tie. Bobby Bowden speared me or whatever it may be. He does funny stuff. Maybe we should change that. Our Twitter handle can no longer be given out. Insert name here.
What's your Twitter account? Wouldn't you like to know? Jeff, speaking of his Twitter account, when your own station unfollowers, he wrote that, when your own station unfollowers you on Twitter, is that a sign that you're about to be fired? So 92.9 The Game, stop following Benedict, and of course Benedict turns this into a Twitter conversation.
Well, you know what? I'd be upset. Does the station even follow me? I really don't even know.
I would be feeling some kind of way if the station unfollowed me. I really would.
Well, I mean, if you use profanities like Jeff does in his Twitter account.
Now, that was unprovoked. I thought that was a bit of an unprovoked shot.
No, but it's true.
Yeah.
Do you follow him?
I can't give out
his Twitter account because he works here, and we can't talk about people's Twitter account.
That's
that
why mine's private, because I have so much profanity.
I like the guy. I think he's a smart, funny guy, but sometimes I'll say, you know what? Not every thought you has to have an F word in it.
Well, mine normally does, but it you know, I try to censor myself. Somebody texted and said, bet Danica's hotter than all your wife. No, she's not.
Sorry. Wrong answer.
Nope. Not at all.
Wrong answer, my friend. Matter of fact, last night when we went to bed, you know, we started to get a little frisky with each other.
Gentle.
And what are you talking about?
He's almost out of dump.
I said frisky. We were getting intimate. We were just cuddling. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I can't see anything. I got to turn the lights on because my wife is gorgeous. I want to see what's going on. So I had to go turn the lights on.
Come here. Look, I got a picture of her.
So and if Danica Patrick were my significant other and she never would be, I'd have the lights off. I could tell you that right now.
We'll do this.
And I'd be imagining somebody hotter.
Yo, dude. Somebody put a good text coming in. Solomon Brothers, I'm going to talk. We're sleeping on Danica Patrick. She's very attractive. I've seen her in person a couple of times. She is very attractive person. She's a race car driver. She's just small. There's just one of those. There's not a whole lot of cheeseburgers and big, fat, cheap beers.
No curves, bro. No curves. Dude, if she ate a bunch of hamburgers and pizza, she wouldn't get curves. She would just get fat. She doesn't have any curves. So she's out.
Bunch of fives talking tens.
Speaking of which, my wife's got me watching this program. I was asking Paul and Mark if they're watching. Have you seen this thing on, I think it's Investigation Discovery.
Okay, let me stop you there. Don't ask Rick if he's watched anything unless it has a bouncing ball or it has the score underneath it. He doesn't watch anything.
He watches Real Housewives, so maybe charity's making him watch. Have you guys seen this Jodi Arias thing on the case? It's a three-part Investigation Discovery on Jodi Arias, the chick that hacked up her boyfriend. It's really actually pretty fascinating. I'm like, boy, she was a whack job. Okay, so she gets charged with the murder. Like, she's in the interrogation room. They're like, all right, you have the right to remain silent. You're going to be charged with murder. They walk out of the room. She goes in the corner and starts doing a headstand.
Are you like,
serious? And you know they have this on video. And then she starts singing. I'm like, boy, somebody made a wrong choice.
Time for a straitjacket for contestant number two. Charity and I watched the other night a documentary. I never watched documentaries. We watched a Tonya Harding thing where she was actually interviewed about the Nancy Kerrigan, Jeff Galooly thing. It was actually really good. Charity is insisting that I go see I, Tonya with her, so I'm going to.
What is I, Tonya? Is that like iCarly?
No, they made a movie about Tonya Harding basically trying to, you know, exonerate her from all her crimes against Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, look up Margot Robbie. She was in Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Margot Robbie plays her.
Ooh.
She's lovely.
Oh, I'm the girl Robbie. From, what was her name? Harlequin?
Yep.
From,
yeah, Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
My bad.
Not mannequin, but Harley Quinn.
Accountant.
Harley Quinn. By the way,
that's your Twitter handle.
I really liked that movie. I know a lot of people did not like that movie.
Well, she was in that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, the one that lasted like 5 hours, where he played the billionaire dude, whatever you call it.
Howard
Wolf
Hughes?
Wall Street?
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street. There you go.
Wolf. Are you throwing shade on Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, it took too long.
What are you talking about? It's one of the great cinema treasures we've ever been
given. This
is
the man who's ever watched Remember the Titans. Bite your tongue.
I've tried. It's boring. I fall asleep every time.
You haven't tried since I've been on the show.
That's true, but I tried twice before you came on the show, and I fell asleep both times.
Somebody tweeted us on our Twitter handles to be named later over the weekend and was like, Remember the Titans was on FX, and that's a movie you can watch on FX because there's no curse words anyway. I watched it 1.5 times. I watched it, and then we went out, and I came back from dinner, and it was back on again, and I watched it again.
You're crazy.
The movie's awesome.
We've got 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Hey, so are the Falcons. You know those guys. Team that lost. Ascending or descending?
No, for real. Call us right now. No, okay. Whoop, I'm locked back in. 404-741-0929. I seriously want to take, and John does too, we want to take your temperature
on
this.
Yeah, we do.
Where is the needle for our team? Is it pointing up? Are we still ascending? Is everything still in play in terms of winning the Super Bowl with this group with a couple of tweaks? Or are you looking at 11-6, win the NFC, go to the Super Bowl, lose, you come back 10-6. You don't win the division. You only win one game, and then you're out. So if you just look at it like that, you could say the arrow's pointing down. No, this team is heading back to mediocrity. I have a different answer. If we hadn't made the playoffs, oh, baby, we are heading back to we made the playoffs. We went out to L.A. and beat the best offense in football. No, I think this team is still legit, a legit contender, and I believe the arrow is pointing up. I say still ascending.
I think they're at the point where – I don't want to say ascending because ascending would have been 13-3 and you'd still be playing this weekend and you'd have a chance to win it all. I think they're kind of the same team they were a year ago. They took a hair of a step back, but I don't see a decline coming. I don't see them next year going 5-11 and, oh, crap, we're starting over. They're absolutely going to be a playoff contender. I don't have to see a single move, and this team will be in the playoffs next year, period.
Agreed.
I think Carolina is about to take a descent. The Saints, you know what? It was a great draft. It was young. It was everything. What do you do with Drew Brees? You know, that question comes up
hopefully
again.
Let him go for us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Let him go. Let him go to Cleveland. He could be the quarterback there. We'll talk about that next. I promise. We'll talk Falcons, allegedly, on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
You tend to like the below the belt action look.
Hey, this game is to win a championship. And that's why we put all of the hard work that we put in all of the time. And when you don't get that result, it's difficult, you know, but, you know, falling short sometimes is the best motivation to keep pushing forward and trying to really yearn to become a better player, to become a better team.
And when we, the Falcon fan base, don't get the result that we want, then we get frustrated, we get disappointed, we get ist. We have our Saturday night ruined by a stupid game where our team shot ourselves in the foot and we lose to a team that we should have beaten. We lose to a team with Nick Foles at quarterback. Come on, man. Rick Kamla and John Michaels. And we will take some calls here in just a second. But we have not gone around the room here. You guys laughed it off. You laughed, ha, ha, ha. You had a good laugh about it. But let's go around the room here. So when you are cuddling with your significant other, lights on or lights off?
Doesn't matter. Just depends on the time of the day.
Nighttime.
I'm not. Lights are off. I don't need a, you know. And it has nothing to do with how I look or how she looks. Once I'm in the bed and it's nighttime, lights are off.
You don't need a Vigi?
No. I know what she looks like. See her every day.
Visual, short for visual. Vigi. Mo, do you need the Vigi or lights off?
Oh no, with me. This is my own insecurities. Lights off. Kitchen lights off. Bathroom lights off. Carport lights off. I'll call my neighbors and be like, "Hey, will you turn your back porch lights off?" Okay, my neighbor across the street, I can see the glow of the TV from your front. Nope, we turn that off for me. Appreciate you.
Okay, so lights off. Preacher man, you and Amy cuddling, lights on, lights off.
It's off.
Okay, so I'm the only one.
Yeah,
now, you could give it or take it, right?
It doesn't matter. I mean, if the lights are on, I'm not going to necessarily get up to turn them off. But if they're off, I'm not going to jump up to turn them on. It's just when I lay down, I'm lazy. I ain't moving.
The only light on in Rick's house is the red from the video camera just filming it.
The only time I'm going to get, and be careful with the video camera. That's what got Jodi Arias in trouble, was taking pictures of the guy she hacked up.
Oh, I don't know anything about that, but I did have to get up out of bed real quick and turn the light on. Let's talk Falcons. We've got Captain Dave, we got Tim, we got John, we got James, we got Ron. So now that we have that debate settled, once again, I'm on Kamala Island, we can get into this. John and I want to take your temperature. Where do you think the Falcons' arrow is pointing? Do you feel, even though, you know, we didn't make the Super Bowl, you know, bowing out in the divisional round, do you still feel like that arrow is pointing up? And I'm not talking about, John, you're right, in terms of going 11-6, win the division, a trip to the Super Bowl, and now, you know, you make the playoffs, you don't win the division, you're out in the second round. It's not ascending in that way.
Right.
But my point is, overall, do you like the direction of the team? Overall, do you feel like it's still, the arrow's pointing up? Or do you feel like, yo, we went from Super Bowl, divisional round out? Like, do you feel like next year we're not a playoff team?
No.
That's what this discussion's about.
They're absolutely going to be a playoff team. And that's why I like the direction of where the team is going. It's the best two-year stretch in the history of the organization. So anybody that's saying, oh, they're in trouble, you haven't been watching this franchise for a long time. I've been part of the network for 7 years. I've been covering on and off the Falcons for the better part of 13 years as far as my time in radio. So I've seen some very down years. Bobby Petrino, the team was descending. The end of the Jim Mora era, they were descending. The end of the Mike Smith era, unfortunately, they were descending. They're not descending right now. Unfortunately, they just didn't get over the hump in Philadelphia.
Just shot ourselves in the foot, man. So we're not breaking down the hows and the whys. We're breaking down where do you feel the arrow is for our team. Captain Dave, come on in here to our midday party, bro. What's up, Captain Dave?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. First of all, my condolences, you know, on Saturday. I, as a diehard Eagle fan, believe the better team lost. As far as your what direction you guys are headed, I think they're the class act of the NFC, and they'll continue to be that. They just need a few pieces here and there. A couple bounces go the right way. It's a completely different conversation you're having right now.
You're absolutely right. The only classy Eagles fan I know, my buddy Captain Dave, who's been an Eagles fan for life. Rick, are you cheering for the Eagles or the Vikings?
I actually can't believe I just heard an Eagle fan dap up another team like that. Captain Dave, God bless you, man. You're like the unicorn among football fans.
Well, you know, obviously there's some home ties there. When your brother's on the sideline of the other team, it, you know, it has some mixed emotions. But I honestly lost money on Saturday, but I bet everybody and your grandmother, the Falcons, would sweep the floor with us.
And knowing you, that's not the first time you've ever lost at gambling.
What? No, I you must have been breaking up there. hold on, I gotta turn the light off. I gotta go cut him.
There he goes.
you guys are in great shape. I wish that my team had as much positive upside, which, I mean, they're looking good. They should be all right years to come with Wentz healthy, but you never know how people come back from injuries. They're still the class act, man. The Falcons are a class act team.
Captain Dave, good to hear from you as always. Here's the thing with the Falcons. You've got talent at a lot of different levels. Your defense obviously took a big jump up from a year ago. The offense took a step back. But overall, you were pretty close to being the same team as you were a year ago. You just didn't get hot enough during the playoffs, and you had to host some games on the road. Descending teams in this league are picking in the top 10 of the draft. The Giants were a descending team. You know, you look around, you're the only team in the NFC that repeated in the playoffs. That has to count for something.
The Seattle Seahawks, by the way, are a descending team. I told you before this season that their championship window was closed. Not closing, but closed. And then we see how this year plays out. Now, Brian Schottenheimer is their OC.
Have fun with that. They are descending.
Let's go to Tim in Stone Mountain. Hey, Tim, are Falcons arrow pointing up or arrow pointing down overall direction of franchise?
Okay, let me explain. I am a neutral fan. I'm a fan of the game. I don't follow a team individually. But as somebody who's from the outside, who has no bias looking in, the Falcons are at risk of becoming the worst thing you can be in sports, and that's good enough to make the playoffs, but not good enough to win at all. The Falcons don't have an identity on offense. Their defense is really good, but guys are about to start getting ready to get paid again. All those guys from the draft, they're going to be in their third, fourth year in the next 2 years. They're going to start getting paid. The team's going to have to decide what their identity wants to be. And if they don't hurry up and come up with a real good idea, whether you want to run the ball, whether you want to throw it all over the place, whether you want to build around your defense, they're going to become like the San Diego Chargers have been, good enough. They look great in the regular season. They're good enough to make the playoffs. Don't have the pieces to win at all because they don't have a real identity. And that's the worst thing you can be in sports.
I mean, look, right now it's hard to argue with that. I hope that the future goes a little brighter than you're depicting, but that is why, and I hate to take you back there, that is why you had to handle your business in February mm-hmm. of 2017. Because he's right. That was a perfect vacuum of everything is in the appropriate spot right now to win this thing, and we didn't do it.
You're right, and that's the part that's so frustrating. You had a window with 17 minutes to go to win a championship, and then you're not even having this conversation right now.
But he's right. Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, these guys are going to be like, yo, I need my Grady Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to – Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
These guys are all going to be like, yo, I need mine, like we saw.
Going to come in the next year or two, and that's where this offseason – you know, I've started to take a glance at guys. There's going to be a couple of players that are veterans, in my estimation, that will be cap casualties. It happens every year. And that's going to be guys that you go, oh, man, we lost him. I remember when Harry Douglas was let loose here, and we all were hurt. Harry's our guy. He's been in studio here. He's a great dude. We know his wife. We know his family. You know, Harry's that guy. But there becomes a business aspect of it, and guys get cut loose. Roddy White was cut loose, and everybody was up in arms about Roddy not being here. And then suddenly Mohamed Sanu comes in and puts up better numbers, and you kind of forget about that Roddy White was here. You're going to see names like that get cut loose, and right. They're going to have to replace them with younger, cheaper guys.
Think about it. Michael Turner, let go, didn't get another job. Roddy White, let go, didn't get another job. Tyson Jackson, Jonathan Babineau, let go, didn't get another job. The Falcons are getting what they want out of these guys and then letting them go at the right time to me. John at Ackworth, you're next. Midday Party with Rick and John. What's up?
How's it going, guys? I've been a longtime Falcons fan. I just wanted to let everybody know, hey, we were saying the same things after the first year of Kyle Shanahan. Why didn't we run the ball? Why aren't we executing? But now we have close to a top 10 defense. Dan Quinn is building a great resume in free agency in the draft. I think another year under Sark, we're going to start seeing all those flashy plays, big plays that we're seeing under year two with Shanahan, and we're going to be back at least for the playoffs next year. I don't know why everybody's so worried. We've got nothing but good things going here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I think the team will be back. There's going to be some tinkering. There's obviously going to be a free agent or two brought in. There's going to be draftable guys that are going to be brought in. Maybe they make a trade. You know, Thomas Dimitroff has been known to make trades. A lot of them are draft days. But I would not be surprised to see him make a move if he can get some value maybe for somebody on the roster.
So my man right there was talking about, big plays. You need big-time players to make big-time plays. Is Austin Hooper a big-time player?
No.
Is Taylor Gabriel a big-time player?
I think he can be.
Well, he was last year, mm-hmm. but overall he's not.
No.
Okay? He caught lightning in a bottle in a signature year. So, to me, upgrade that spot. Better tight end
mm-hmm.
and a better, you know, more electric slot receiver type of guy. I'm just saying, like, if you want big plays, you need big players to make them. And Hooper and Gabriel aren't those guys.
Yeah, and, you know, that'll be positions I guarantee that they look at to try to address throughout the offseason. Tomorrow, Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, I believe, are supposed to speak to the media starting at 9 o'clock. So we'll have some of that coverage tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's the final presser of the year.
No, I'm just saying, like, usually that stuff's at 3, and after we get off the air. And
then we hear it Thursday when everybody else has heard it.
We got some material, baby.
Yeah, we have some stuff. Let's take one more before we go to break. Let's go to Ron and Griffin on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Ron, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Appreciate you taking my call. I think by and large, general agreement that we're heading in a good direction. I'm, you know, we make the playoffs next year. The question becomes, and I'll save some comments for tomorrow, I'll call back, but the main thing we have to decide is, you know, you guys have done this for a long time in Atlanta and before, and you guys are good at what you do. You have a guy on staff who's played in the Super Bowl, and I couldn't understand why all year it was the same question. Like, everybody, including you guys who are close and near and dear to it, is scratching their head asking the same question. And I got an answer after the game Saturday when one of the Philadelphia guys said, did you see how on the last play, fourth and two, we're over there talking, we know it's coming because we've studied it. And it occurred to me, we didn't have an offensive coordinator this year. We had a play caller. And there's a difference between a coordinator and a play caller. And what they have to decide as a franchise is, do they let the play caller learn from his mistakes and become an offensive coordinator, or do they go out and say, let's get an offensive coordinator?
Good call, but I'm telling you, Sark will be here at least for one more year. He's going to get that. What the hope is, and remember, Kyle Shanahan seemed like a play caller in year one, and none of us were happy that he was here. I wasn't happy when he was hired. I never thought Kyle Shanahan was a great coordinator. Then he figured out how to call plays and do all of that stuff in year number two. I guess that's the hope going on right now with the Falcons. We read Between the Lines coming up next with M.O.
Yeah, we have an FCC-friendly version of Rappaport's search for sweatpants.
Finally.
Plus, Rick, your boy's getting a good laugh out of calling 911. We'll explain next. Read Between the Lines, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.